are back with our third consecutive Victory Monday of the season, and I have to admit, this one feels a lot better than the others, and that's because your Miami Dolphins defeated the Buffalo Bills 21-19 on Sunday. We have lots to break down from this big AFC East matchup, but before we get into all that, let me welcome in my co-host, the greatest in the world, the one, the only, Jake Mendel. Jake, 3-0, baby. We just beat the Bills. How you feeling today?
A quick programming note, Josh. You're a smart football guy, and I'm not gonna put that up past you. But there are people are saying that the Dolphins are actually 2-0, and the Miami Heat are 1-0. That I think is where we should start. What do you have to say about that? Because I don't think basketball season starts for another month. I mean, I don't know why anyone wants to be talked about the Heat. Yeah, Jimmy Butler's cool, but like, the Dolphins won yesterday. They're 3-0, and holy cow, I can't stop thinking about it.
Yeah, man, and I love that you bring up the Heat because I didn't see it during the game, but after the game, I mean, it just seemed like everybody from, you know, quote-unquote Bills Mafia was just complaining about the Heat down there. We saw the players cramping up. We always hear about the Dolphins, you know, having that home field advantage, having their side shaded, the visitors just blasting in the Heat, and that's exactly what happened. But you had fans calling for, you know, the NFL to call OSHA and different things, like they were going crazy because they, I guess, just remember that there was a sun. Yeah, so full on Karen. So shout out to the sun, shout out to whoever designed Hard Rock Stadium, because you know, that's not why the Dolphins won this game, but it certainly didn't hurt things, you know, when they have that home field advantage.
If you can't handle me at my Sahara Desert Hard Rock Stadium, you don't deserve me at my frozen tundra of Lambeau Field. I truthfully don't know what the difference is. Like, if we can sit here and dread the Dolphins wearing these puffy hats and sitting in a snowstorm in Buffalo, this is exactly the same thing. Breaking news, Josh, do you think people in Buffalo forgot that in the South it's hot?
They had to. I mean, that's why they were going down there, right? That's why they were getting, and to their credit, I mean, we live in the Northeast, Jake. It's kind of gloom around here. You know, we don't see the sun as much. I mean, they acted like it just came out of nowhere. And I just continue to see, you know, the baby from, wasn't the sun and Teletubbies like a baby's face? So that's all I keep.
Can we put Tua's face on that for like our,
It's probably been done, but we'll make sure we do that. Maybe we can make the Teletubbies each a player and put with their helmets on. We'll definitely, all right, that's going to be the tweet. But you have written down here, the Joe Marino on Twitter, the weather for last year's Bills 35-0. In week two win over the Dolphins was basically the same temperature. And I heard that the Heat last week, or week one against the New England Patriots, was similar to this game. So, you know, Bill Belichick flew down there, right? He tried to get his team acclimated, still led to a loss. The Bills, I guess they were feeling a little bit too cocky and they ended up getting cooked. But someone said they're going to start calling the visitors bench, Jake, Hell's Kitchen.
I actually like that a lot. And I mean, I think it's worth note again. We're starting with this. It's a big joke because the Dolphins are 3-0. For the first time in my life, if you want to count, I'm lying. If you want to count, like 2-year-old me that can't comprehend a sentence. I mean, I can barely comprehend a sentence now. But Josh, the first time in my life, the Miami Dolphins are must see football. They are at the top of the game. They're one of two 3-0 teams that we're recording this before the Giants play on Monday night. And man, it's just so impressive how they are winning in all these different ways. And we started with the Heat. And I think the only proper segue, Josh, the biggest question I have you is we produce podcasts. We do a lot of content. Can you start a championship DVD with a butt punt? Is that possible?
I don't know, man, but sign me up. I mean, some of the quotes coming from this, I'm in tears. I mean, we had Ted Karras, right? I think he might actually play for the Bengals, so maybe we have a Ted Karras ass game. But we used to joke about his sweaty towel, and then we called Solomon Kinley Cheeks. I mean, this is the new Cheeks, right, man? I mean, we're talking about the punt. The Dolphins had their back against their own end zone. And Thomas Morstead just booted that thing straight into Trent Sherfield's ass. Charmin, I think, tweeted at him, you know, joking. And Tyreek Hill after the game said, Sherfield is going to have to catch it with his butt cheeks next time because he has strong butt cheeks. And then Sherfield also tweeted out at the end of the game that he had a W tattooed on the back of his cheeks. So Duke Riley said today, man, if this doesn't happen, you know, maybe they get great field position, go down the field, and the Bills end up scoring. So maybe it's a blessing in disguise. But let's start this Super Bowl championship DVD with the butt punt, 100%.
And it's so refreshing because that's a game, that's a play the Dolphins lose. That's the same old Dolphins play, and the fact they were able to overcome it. Josh, there's a lot of different things, a lot of different, you know, work areas were destroyed. There was a lot of sweat everywhere. But Josh, where I want to, let's start with that drive, because I think that the game was kind of made on that drive right before the Dolphins got the ball back at their 1-yard line. And in our pregame show, Josh, the one game we spoke about maybe positively of was Josh Allen's rookie year. Charles Clay all alone in the end zone, and he missed it. On Sunday, man, Isaiah McKenzie was wide open on an out route. Wide open. And mute this part, but I kind of felt bad because Josh Allen, they played 91 snaps. This dude could not put any mustard on that ball for it to get there, and it just died like a duck. So, Josh, I want to start there with that drive holding up at the goal line because I think after last week, the amount of yards they give up to Baltimore, we saw Xavier Howard get torched. We saw Javon Holland have, you know, not a great game. That all changed, man. Those guys, they had some strong, strong outings. I mean, Josh Allen, you won't find anyone that's harder to take down. And this front seven, I mean, Melvin Ingram deserves flowers. Trey Flowers, number 93. If you didn't know that yet, that's not Zach Sealer's 92. That's Trey Flowers, 93. These guys deserve a lot of credit, man, because that drive, you stop the Buffalo Bills at the 1 yard line. I mean, that's just, that leaves me speechless right there.
Yeah, and I think 91 total defensive snaps, correct? I mean, that's just absurd, man. You're talking about the drive went 17 plays, 83 yards. The Dolphins stopped them at the 2 yard line, I guess, technically. And you're right, man. I guess the first thought I had was, I did tweet it, that he looked like he was skipping rocks because I was just thinking if this was Tua that tried that throw, you know, the entire world would be just losing their mind.
Still
but,
talking about it.
Yeah. So, I mean, I guess part of me, if they would have scored there, you would have got to see what Tua could do in that situation. But you got to tip your hat to this defense, man. We mentioned 91 snaps. I mean, all game long, I mean, you saw someone step up, and it goes back to what we talked about last week. I think they said how they bend, don't break, man. And, you know, when you can have a 14 play drive, okay, that one led to a touchdown, but a 20 play drive, you know, going 92 yards that results in a field goal, then you have the turnover on downs later in the game. I mean, we can't even be remiss if we talk about that last play. I think Melvin Ingram hustled his ass off, man. You know, beat the lineman, almost got the sack on Josh Allen, then chased the guy downfield, tackled him in bounds. I mean, it was just a roller coaster of emotions, but this defense stepped up again, 91 snaps against what many considered a juggernaut. I mean, everyone has excuses for why the Bills defense was banged up, but that was a healthy offense. And the Dolphins, again, they bend, but they didn't break.
And I think as we start to have the discussion, we're quickly approaching the quarter point of the season, you start to wonder, how can you win football games? I mean, Javon Holland, he had a rough week too. He answered the call, 3 pressures, 1.5 sacks and a forced fumble, 2 passes deflected, played all 91 snaps. And then you can look at Melvin Ingram, who was brutal, a couple penalties a week ago, 6 pressures, a fumble recovery. We were looking for Jerome Baker's number 55, Josh, and we found it in the form of 83 snaps for 13 tackles. Half a sack, tackle for a loss, a pass defended, and a quarterback hit. So, Josh, I think when I look at this defensive unit, and this is such a tough game to talk about because there's so much I want to hit on. This was a team, man, that you take out Zach Moss's, you know, 40-yard run, give or take, and this was a team that was allowing roughly 2 yards on the ground, man. This is a group that, if we're talking about how you can win football games, they're doing it different ways each and every week. The fact that there are different guys stepping up, I mean, that's the most impressive thing to me, Josh. I'm curious, when you look at that defense, I mean, for the second week in a row, we had Xavier Howard, I think, really stumble on a pick six. I mean, who answered the call? Who kind of missed the door for you, Josh? Because, I mean, outside of Xavier Howard missing a pick six for the second week in a row, I mean, this seems like a unit that it's never going to give up.
No, man. And that's, I think Holland even said at the end of the game, he's like, we're never going to give up. It's not over till the fat lady sings. I think Christian Wilkins said something to the similar beat. So, I mean, this defense just scratches tooth and nail, finds a way to overcome victory. I think if we went into this game, you know, this weekend, we said, oh, hey, man, Josh Allen's going to throw 91 times. We'd think he'd have what, 600, 700? He'd have like a season's worth of yards and touchdowns. But I mean, again, it's just a testament. You mentioned Xavier Howard. He looks scrappy. You know, he did drop another interception. Holland also dropped an interception that hit him right on the hands. And now that I think about it, Brandon Jones might have also had one. Either way, the Dolphins had missed opportunities. Helmet. Both teams did. But but Xavier Howard, man, I mean, he was playing scrappy. I think he had a German suplex on Stephon Diggs earlier in the game, yep. Got that, you know, penalty that kept the drive alive. But heading into the half, man, it was a 14-14 game. And I mean, at the beginning of this entire thing, you would have felt pretty good, you know, heading into the half at that. But hat tip to Melvin Ingram, man, ever since he's been brought into Miami, I mean, he's just playing all over the field. And Javon Holland, he answered a call like we asked him to.
Couple plays, Josh, before we switch over to offense, I want to get your thoughts on. Mike McDaniel challenged a play early in the game where Stephon Diggs, I mean, this is the most like technical, like if you want to have like a debate about a football play, this is a play to do it because Stephon Diggs catches it, kind of, it's bobbling. He rolls to the ground. Xavier Howard, I think he touched his ankle, but as he's going to the ground, he's moving the ball. He goes to try to like I guess guide himself to the ground and the ball flips out, sits on the ground. And at the time, man, I don't think anyone really thought of it. You know, hey, it was after the play, he completed the catch, but you watched it a couple times and you kind of saw what Mike McDaniel was aiming for, despite the fact that it didn't go their way.
See, the way I see it is it's just a weird rule by the NFL because, I mean, he did graze his, what, like, knee, like, but to consider that a tackle, I mean, it's just, I guess it's more to the league, but I had no issue with Mike McDaniel challenging that play early on. Again, the replay did clearly show that Xavien Howard touched him, but then at that point, I mean, there looked like there were situations where he wanted to challenge different things. I think there was could he challenge that one play? There was a safety, at least some people think it was a safety, where Josh Allen was in his own end zone, tried to check it down to, I think, Singletary. Looked like that could have been a safety. Looked like he wanted to challenge that, but I mean, at that point, you know, you only have one challenge left in the game. You don't want to lose another time out, because I guess if I did have to have one gripe with this game, it would be the way they managed the clock, because it did seem like in that second half, did they not burn two timeouts like pretty relatively soon? And I mean, those things could have
been the third, early
fourth, and at that point, I mean, you could have needed those, but they didn't need that. And I mean, again, it's testament to how well that defense played. All around great effort by everyone. I got to mention Keon Cross, and he had a pass breakup. You know, I don't know where we're at in our rundown. When we do these rundowns, we are so scatterbrained and we just want to talk about everything that comes on our mind. I know I do, but Keon Cross had a nice pass breakup in the end zone. Gabe Davis looked like he had a sure touchdown, and Crossing came in and break that up. And I mean, that touchdown would have been the difference.
And that's kind of the point here, Josh, is that no matter what the situation is, the Dolphins had different guys step up. The Dolphins' first play, drive on offense, five plays, 13 yards, penalties kind of derailed it. But, Josh, I think, you know, this game was headed in one direction. Buffalo gets the ball back. They're pinned deep around their own 12-yard line, but, you know, you get the ball, you're up 7-0, and all of a sudden, man, Josh Allen, like, we spoke about it. I mean, we joke about the Heat, but, like, Josh Allen loves playing in Miami. This is a dude who won the AFC Player of the Week honors twice after playing at Hard Rock Stadium. This is a dude that the Bills beat the Dolphins 35-0 last year in the same weather. But man, Javon Holland with that sack of Josh Allen, fumble recovered by Melvin Ingram. That just, I think, turned the whole game around, Josh, because all of a sudden it was pretty easy to go three plays, 6 yards, and get a touchdown. We're doing it. We're getting scatterbrained. So, Josh, I want to stick on the defense just for a second. The fake spike at the end of the half. Josh Allen, I think they're just trying to get a little closer in the field goal range. Man, what on earth happened here? Bills are driving down, trying to, you know, break a 14-14 tie. I think, man, you know, Josh Allen snaps the ball. All of a sudden, he hooks it out to Stephon Diggs, and the half ends. And I think the one question I wanted to ask if I was watching the game with a bunch of people, how do you not, once you, like, dribble it in your hand a little bit, just slam it on the ground?
Yeah, Jake, I mean, that's anyone's guess. I mean, it looked like that thing was, you know, a hot potato or something the way he was handling it. And I guess maybe he would have thought if he tried to spike that thing to the ground, it might have still been a fumble. I don't know. But they had some pretty questionable issues, you know, whether it be that before the half or the one, you know, at the end of the game. I mean, it just looked like they need a few more seconds, and this game could have been a different outcome.
It's really cool because the Dolphins, all of them, they were wearing we want it hotter down here, something along those lines, short shirts. And that's kind of what we saw happen to the Bills, man. This was a team that just was not ready to play in the heat. They come out of the half, 20 plays, 87 yards in 10 minutes, and kick a field goal. And as weird as that sounds, man, I think that's kind of where they started to unravel a little bit, because they come out on the next drive after the Dolphins, 3 plays, 8 yards, a 140 of time. Zach Moss, boom, 43-yard run. They get to 4th and 4 at the Miami 20. And Josh, Taylor Bass misses a field goal wide left. And all of a sudden, man, that changes everything. And I don't know about you, but this bias or this idea of Tua just being a fourth quarter winner just takes center stage, because end of third quarter, then Bass misses the field goal. Next drive, 6 plays, 72 yards, a Tua Tagovailoa touchdown. I mean, Josh, take me through this drive. Take me through the 3rd and 22, deep pass to the middle to Jaylen Waddle. Tell me about this drive. What made it so special?
You know, first, I want to get your thoughts on that block and that field goal, because it wasn't blocked, was it? I don't think they ever said it was. At first, I thought Justin Bethel got a piece the way it looked, but I think he just shankopotamus there, right?
I think there was a shankopotamus in the arena.
better them than us, right? I mean, we did call a missed field goal. We did say it would come down to that. I drew it up exactly like this. I mean, didn't the Bills at 40 minutes and 40 seconds of possession, Dolphins 19-20. But, man, Tua Tagovailoa, I mean, we talk about, you know, him being a gamer. You know, you say that quarterbacks have it. You know, they rise to the occasion with the game on the line, and that's exactly what he did. The touchdown to Crawcraft was one of his, I think, one of his better touchdowns that we've seen from second consecutive touchdown for Crawcraft. Promoted him to the active roster so they can no longer put him on the practice squad. But this thing, I mean, this Tua threw a laser. I mean, it looked like Buzz Lightyear going after, what was his name, like Sergeant Zord or whatever the heck the bad guy is. I mean, he...
Sergeant? What? Yeah. Sergeant. Emperor Zerg?
What's funny is I had the Emperor. I even said it like in the mirror before we came on here. Like, I had it down, but I completely whiffed. But that throw was just great anticipation. I mean, right on the money. And then the third and 22 throw, man. I mean, everyone talked about his arm strength, you know, talked about whether or not he could do it. I mean, he looked the safety off. I think he said he saw quarter coverage, looked the safety off to the left, looking at Tyreek Hill, and then just threw an absolute dot. So, I mean, through three games, man, I don't think there's nothing that Tua could do differently at this point that, you know, could exceed any of our expectations. I mean, he has been money these first 3 weeks, and he came back from what looked like, a pretty serious injury. So, you know, you got to tip your hat there as well.
That drive, man, 6 plays, 72 yards, 4 minutes. That's when the Dolphins took the lead for good early in the fourth quarter. And I think people forget this drive started at Miami's 28. Tua started with a 32-yard completion to Jalen Waddle. Like, that's just how the drive straight up started. Obviously, then some penalties took over. And, man, this was a – like, people are talking about Buffalo dealing with their injuries, but, I mean, and the Heat. But, I mean, Miami was in the same boat, right? They're playing in the same sun. I mean, you have someone like Greg Little acting like a Lego figure. It seemed like every minute he had to just pop off the field. You just would pop his arm out of it, or his hand out of his little armhole, and then you'd pop a new hand in there, and he'd be good to go. Josh, Miami's highest-graded player in this game, Robert Hunt, according to Pro Football Focus, with a grade of 94 overall. He played mostly right guard, but when Little was out there trying to, you know, fix his hand, which, dude, I mean, being an offensive lineman, though, that's a quick way to mess up your hands. The way you just get caught in jerseys and it just starts to bend one way or another. All the respect to him for coming in and out there, man. But that drive, the pass to Waddle, and then, surprisingly enough, Josh, Sunday was a Chase Edmonds day. After we went so long without talking about him, thinking, hey, this is going to be a Raheem Mostert game, there's Chase Edmonds up center stage being the guy to score 2 touchdowns. And Josh, how do you feel about the usage of the running back so far? Chase Edmonds, week 1, he was the guy, right? 67% of rushes were him, 12% of target share. Then last week, man, that dwindled right down to 30% of rushes, 6% target share. This week, against the Bills, it bumped back up a little bit, 40% of the running back share, 5% of the target share, 2 touchdowns, 6 carries, 21 yards. I played him on 2 fantasy teams, but Josh, tell me what you're thinking about this running back group, the usage. Obviously, it looks like you sat Chase Edmonds, so good for you. Tell me a little bit about it.
Definitely not good for me, but I think it's kind of what Mike McDaniel said all along. I mean, I have no issue with the way they're using it other than, again, if you have one of them in fantasy, because, I mean, they're riding the hot hand, they're, you know, whatever's working, whoever's having success, they're sticking with. I had no issue with this being a Chase Edmonds game other than, yeah, I felt like an idiot because I sat him in fantasy. He had 2 touchdowns, only 6 carries. So, I mean, there's still more, you know, it can still put more on his platter, and we can see, you know, what he can truly become. You mentioned Robert Hunt being that highest graded offensive lineman. Dolphins have, according to Pro Football Focus, Ryan Smith, Dolphins have 5 top 10 offensive players at their respective positions in overall grades through 3 weeks. Robert Hunt 2nd, Tua 4th, Jalen Waddle 4th, Tyreek Hill 6th, and Teron Armstead 10th. And just to go back to Jalen Waddle, he caught, 4 of 6 targets for 102 yards, had that massive 45-yard reception on that 3rd and 22. He now has 123 career receptions through 19 games. That's the second most in NFL history, only behind Odell Beckham Jr., who is first with 141, and his 342 total yards through the first 3 weeks is second in all-time Dolphins history. So I had to make sure I got those stats out there because Jalen Waddle, I mean, we all look at Tyreek Hill. We all know what he brings to this offense. I mean, he's opening things up for Jalen Waddle, but Waddle on paper, you know, some might think he's just speed. That dude is more than just speed. He can go up, get that ball, and just has been a damn playmaker, man. So that offense has a lot of playmakers, a lot of talented guys that are finally getting noticed by the national media.
One of my themes, Josh, throughout this entire year, third down percentage, right? How are the Dolphins doing on third down? What kind of positions are they getting themselves into? And Third down efficiency, the Bills were 11 of 18. Miami was 3 of 8. But that throw to Waddle, that just kind of changed everything. You know, not only are you kind of not expecting your team to convert a third and 22, but if you look at that play and look at some screenshots, Tua's IQ, man, is out of this world. He leads the league in QBR. And if you want a perfect example, he didn't lead him into the sun where Jalen Waddle would have instantly melted. He led him right into the shade for the nice 44-yard completion like a smart QB should do.
Yeah, Jake, and while I'm sitting here watching Tua ball out, I mean, I had to be honest, I loved every second of it. And then he took that hit, man, and it looked like his head hit the ground. They're saying it's a lower back injury. I think the league's investigating, but I'm going to be honest, man. My heart just sunk to my stomach because I remembered when we did our preview show, thanks to everyone that downloaded this episode. I mean, I don't know about you, man, but you see these numbers are definitely going up. But I know I felt like I kind of jinxed it talking about that Jesse Davis thing. So as soon as I saw him get hit, as soon as I saw him go out of the game, I saw Teddy Bridgewater in there, which I hope we never have to see again. I definitely felt guilty and I felt like a jinx for sure.
Did anyone look like they wanted to be at Hard Rock Stadium less than Teddy Bridgewater?
No.
He looked like the kid who, you know, you have four people working on an assignment, and then it's your day to present, and all the other three kids, one's at band, one's out sick, and one has football practice, and you have no idea what your assignment is on. Dude, he looked absolutely miserable out there, and is, you know, the fan favorite, you know, local kid coming home. He threw two passes, and I thought the game was over. I thought all the hope was out the window because he just looked like he was ready to go home, go do something else, go play Call of Duty or whatever it may be, because he just was not feeling it.
Yeah, and I was telling you before we came on the show, like, my first thought was, okay, it's okay. We get to see Skylar Thompson, you know, get him some live action. Nope, he was inactive for the game. So, dude, if we would have had to sit there through Teddy Bridgewater, I mean, there was once upon a time when, you know, I thought he could come in here and be a starter, but man, he did look like he was not interested, and that offense just looked like they weren't interested. But he did look the part, man. I mean, he has a sweet visor. I think he had like an arm sleeve on. Like, he looks like we probably would if we got a chance to like suit up and go out there. But then once you see all these big dudes coming at you and pass rushing you, you're just like, oh, I don't know that I want to be here. But hat tip to Tua for coming back in the game. Again, they're saying it's a lower back injury, which I don't know if you saw it, Jake, but he definitely got snap back on a quarterback sneak, and then to me it was just the way his head hit, and then he get up and stumble around. I mean, it looks scary as hell being a Dolphins fan.
We said Merrick's our fake doctor, and I'm not gonna sit here and act like I am a doctor.
We should have asked him. You're right.
But this is also gonna sound awful, but it looked like the good old-fashioned, like, if you want to use like the 1970s science of football, oh, he just had his computer restarted, he was just shaking off the cobwebs. That's the kind of the situation that played out here. Obviously Tua, the team, they came out and said it was a lower back injury, and that's what loosened up the legs, and
they're being investigated.
That seems even weird to say loosening the legs. But yeah, they're being investigated. There was an independent doctor that cleared him. The fact that one, like, it's so hot and you're moving around so much. Like, I was kind of annoyed the Bills got this at the end of the game. But, like, instead of a timeout, just be like, hey, man, can I have a minute? Can you give me, like, 1 minute just to, like, chill out? Because I think that's really what Tua needed to calm down. I'm not going to be a doctor. There could be something seriously wrong. He could still be concussed for all I know. But man, this looked like a player who was focused, who was back in the game. As soon as he came back out on the field, I mean, he was out there before halftime, just cheering up the crowd. I love it, 'cause I think it was Marv Albert who's like, Tua's still in the locker room being checked out. And I'm just refreshing Twitter of everyone going nuts that he's back on the field. So man, I don't know what to think about this injury. I'm happy he came back. He came back and he looked well. He didn't come back and look like someone who was ready just to, you know, do whatever he can to keep his team alive, even if that meant throwing pick sixes. I mean, he tried. He definitely tried, but Josh Allen did the same thing, so I'm not going to get too caught up on that. But man, oh, my heart dropped really, really far seeing that injury. But all things considered, they can investigate all they want, but I don't think the Dolphins will get charged with anything because it was an independent doctor that said, hey, man, you're good. You're right. It's a lower back injury. Your legs got a little loose. We're going to tighten those up and you're good to go. Right? That's how doctors.
Yeah, no, that's exactly how they work. I'm just, I think I'm just impressed with when he did come back. You know, again, we talked about all the significant passes he made. I mean, he made some big time throws. It almost was like, you know, his computer did just reboot and he was, you know, on a whole nother level. I got to throw this out there. They did just release the injury report. Again, it's a day after, you know, a brutal game against the Buffalo Bills, but Armstead, Seathan Cotter, Xavien Howard, Rob Hunt, Melvin Ingram, Brandon Jones, Hunter Long, Tua Tagovailoa, and Jalen Waddle did not participate anticipate. Raekwon was limited. Javon Holland was limited. Darth Cater was limited. Sealer and Cedric Wilson limited. So again, put into that with whatever you want. But it did sound like today that I think Mike McDaniel said, you know, outside of anything, there was nothing out of the norm or, you know, extreme to Tua Tagovailoa is after that game, other than, you know, just the regular bumps and bruises. So hopefully he's ready to go. But again, a short week, you just never know. And the Dolphins sound like they will have a contingency plan in place if they have to use it.
Just reading these stats, man, this win is just so impressive. No team in week three had less time of possession than Miami at 19 minutes and 20 seconds. That right there would horrify me. That, oh no, our defense is getting gassed. You know, they're on the field all game and they just answered the call, man. I think we even had a podcast titled, you know, we're not talking enough about the defense, right? We're not giving them their flowers. And this is that perfect example, man, that this squad is an absolute wagon when they're needed to be. A couple more stats I want to run through is that Miami finished with more points than half the teams that played Sunday, despite only 20 minutes of time. Josh, since the start of last season, the Bills are now 0-6 in games decided by 8 points or less. The other winless team in that span is the Texans at 0-6-1. To me, man, that just means that you're either in the same ring as Buffalo or you're not even close. I don't look too much into that. It's just impressive as hell. Tua also beat a quarterback that didn't have an O in his name for the first time in forever, in his last name in the first time in forever. So that's impressive. But Josh, you just mentioned Cedric Wilson, and that's someone I want to talk about. Mostly because River Craycraft called up for the third time. He can no longer be placed on the practice squad. But second game with a touchdown, we all checked it off our bingo cards. We knew it was coming. Tua into triple coverage, nailing River Craycraft for a touchdown. Man, I still can't hear it. Can't get enough of it. So tell me about that play. Tell me about River. And all of a sudden, is Miami's number three wide receiver someone who's not even on the 53-man roster?
Man, it seems that way. I mean, I think at this point they have to make sure they have him locked up. We did see Trent Sherfield, you know, he played again another part of that role that I think we suggest out in the pregame. You know, if Cedric Wilson couldn't go, we could see more Sherfield. I think Wilson played only 5 snaps. Hopefully at some point we get to see Eric Ezukoma in there, but River Craycraft made the most of that one target, 11 yards. And again, Tua just put that thing right on the money. Jake, you mentioned those different stats. Ben Volen, I hate that I'm even giving him the time of day, but he put in the last 16 years, NFL teams are 2-106 when being outgamed by at least 275 yards. The two wins were the Dolphins versus the Rams and the Dolphins versus the Bills. So, you know, again, that Buffalo Bills offense got 500 yards nearly offensive, got 500 yards offensively, but the Dolphins defense, when it mattered most, you know, bend and break, man. And it's just, I just love to see it. You know, last week we had the offense step up. This week it was a defense.
And man, when you're looking at 3-0, one of the best teams in the league, it's not going to be your quarterback, right? It's not them going to be doing everything. It's not going to be Tua, Jalen Waddle, and Tyreek Hill. It's going to be the absolute squad. So man, as we start to wrap up here, the ticker's going on. We're on to Cincinnati. We're looking. I mean, Josh,
did you see the Tyreek Hill video? Did you see that where he called out Eli Apple?
That's incredible. I'm so like, in years past, I'd be like, man, I don't want my players shaking the trees, but some of
them. I owe you, boy. He said, I owe you, boy.
Dude, I cannot wait to see what that is, because that's another thing, too. Like, there were some players that were not used, like, nearly. Like, I can't say that, I guess, because Tyreek Hill is still out there running fast paced, like game speed for most of those snaps anyway. But like, there are guys who weren't utilized to their potential, and I'm excited to see what that looks like on Thursday against a Bengals team that, Josh, I don't know, man, they just beat a pretty good team in the Jets. So I don't know what to think about that one.
It took down Joe Flacco, but they're 1-2. You know, they were in the Super Bowl last season. You know, they have Joey Burr, and they're going to be wearing those white jerseys. I mean, that's pretty cool, right? You saw those white like alternates that they're wearing. So Jesus, take the wheel.
We Jesus step back on track, kind of, but I do want to apologize to everyone that, hey, this show might have been a little all over the place, but that's what the Dolphins win was, right, Josh? This was a game where the unexpected happened. We had butt punts, we had fake spikes, and it was just a fun time to be a Dolphins man, Josh. I'm very excited to see where we go from here. We'll be back Wednesday with Merrick Brave. That'll be our preview show for the week. It's usually our turn the page day, but playing on Thursday Night Football, we ain't nobody got time for that. So guys, thank you so much for joining us. I cannot say it again. I'm sorry that the show was a little all over the place. There was just a lot to talk about. A lot of things happened yesterday. And most importantly, man, the Miami Dolphins are 3-0.
Check your pulse, baby. Fins up.
That was FinSider Radio, part of the FinSider.com and the SB Nation Network.
Miami has the Dolphins, the greatest football team. We take the ball from goal to goal like no one's ever seen. We're in the air, we're on the ground, we're always in control. And when you say Miami, you're talking Super Bowl, because we're the Miami Dolphins. Miami Dolphins. Miami Dolphins number one. Yes, we're the Miami Dolphins. Miami Dolphins. Miami Dolphins number one. Miami has a Dolphin, the greatest football team. We take the ball from goal to goal like no one's ever seen. We're in the air, we're on the ground, we're always in control. And when you say Miami, you're talking Super Bowl, 'cause we're the Miami Dolphins.